Welcome to the Orthodox Union's Nachiomi. I'm Jacob Bromwitz, and today we'll be learning the book of Ovadia in its entirety. We met Ovadia once before in Malachim Aleph, the first book of Kings. He was a contemporary of Eliyahu, Elijah the prophet, and when Izebel, Queen Jezebel, was killing prophets, Ovadia hid 100 of them in caves at great personal risk, and he fed them using money from his own pocket. If you've ever catered an affair, you know how expensive it can be feeding 100 people for one meal, so just imagine doing it 3 times a day for an indefinite period of time. It certainly adds up. So as a reward for endangering himself in order to save the prophets, Ovadia himself was rewarded with the gift of prophecy. But who was Ovadia? Aside from running the household of King Ahab, he was a convert from the nation of Edom, and they were descendants of Esav, Jacob's brother Esau. The Talmud and Sanhedrin suggest 2 reasons why Ovadia was charged with the prophecy directed at Edom. One is that Edom's ancestor Esav lived with 2 righteous people, his parents Yitzchak and Rivka, but he did not emulate their ways. Conversely, Ovadia lived with 2 evil people, Ahab and Jezebel, and he didn't copy their evil ways. So this made Ovadia a good role model for his people, the nation of Edom. The other explanation compares Edom to a forest. Ovadia is like an axe whose handle is carved from one of those trees, so the forest is brought down by something that came from it. Now, Edom can mean several things. First, it can mean the biblical nation of Edom. If the prophecy of this book means that, then it refers to the literal Edomites of the First Temple era. Second, Edom refers to Rome. If those are the Edomites of our book, then it refers to the Second Temple, which was destroyed by the Romans. The third interpretation is that Edom refers to the Christian world, much the same way that Ishmael, refers to the Muslim world. If Ovadia means that Edom, then the book would be describing an event in our future, presumably the war of Gog and Magog, Gog and Magog, which is described in detail in Sefer Yechezkel. For our purposes, we'll assume that Ovadia is speaking primarily of the biblical Edomites and the Babylonian exile, although there are interesting interpretations based on the other understandings as well. So let's learn Ovadia. Chazon Ovadia, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim LeEdom. The vision of Ovadia, thus says God to Edom, or about Edom. Shemua Shamanu Me'es Hashem, Vetzir Bagayim Shulach. We have received word from God, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Saying what? Kumu V'nakuma Aleha L'Mochama. Get up, and we'll go to war against her. Against who? Against Edom. As we said, some see this as a reference to the war of Gog and Magog. I always like to point out that Gog and Magog are not 2 warring nations, as many people think. The nation is Magog, and Gog is their ruler. Hine katon nesaticha bagayim. Behold, God says, I have made you, Edom, small among the nations. Rashi says that even though Esav was the older brother, he was actually less significant in God's eyes. Rashi also quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that the other nations looked down on Edom because they didn't have their own script or language. Now, if Edom is Rome, you could ask, what about Latin? Rashi over in the Gemara elaborates that the Roman language was inherited from other nations, and we know this to be accurate, as Latin is an Italic language and their alphabet is derived from the Greek. Tosfos questions this explanation, though, because other nations also inherited their languages, so it wasn't specifically a Roman fault. Bazuya tameod, you are very despised, Edom. Rashi again quotes the Gemara that the kings of Edom were not the sons of the previous kings. It wasn't necessarily a hereditary position. Zadon libcha hishiecha, the evil in your heart seduced you. It seduced Edom to speak out against Israel. Shochne bechagve sela marom shifto, you who lived in the cracks of the rocks of his high dwelling. What this means is that Edom relied on the merits of our common ancestors, Avraham and Yitzchak, although this won't be enough to save them. Omer bilibo, mi yoridena aretz. He says in his heart, who could possibly bring me down to earth? So Edom is very high up, who could bring me down? God answers, imtag bia kanesher, even if you raise your residence as high as an eagle, which is the highest of all birds. Ve'im ben kochavim simkinecha, even if you put your nest in between the stars, Misham aridcha ne'um Hashem, I will bring you down from there, says God. Imga navim bo'olach l'cha, if thieves came to you, im shodede laila, if burglars came by night, ech nidmesa, how could you be silent? Rashi explains this as a criticism. How could you possibly sleep through that? The Radak translates Ech Nidmesa as how were you cut off? Halo Yignevu Dayam. Wouldn't they just steal until they had enough? Im Botsrim Bolach. Halo Yashiru Olelos. If gleaners came to you, wouldn't they leave some grapes behind? This is not going to be the case with Edom. Ech Nechpesu Esav Nivu Matspunav. How Esav was picked through, his hidden treasures were revealed, or another translation, his treasures were plundered. Ad Hagvul Shilchucha Kol Anshe Brisecha. All your allies escorted you to the border. Hishi'ucha Yachlulach Anshe Shlomecha. Your partners lulled you into a false sense of security, and then they overpowered you. Basically, their allies promised them aid, and then they betrayed them, or at the very least, they deserted them in their time of need. Lachmecha yasimu mazur tachtecha. Your bread placed a wound under you. Rashi says that this is a reference to the food that Yaakov gave Esav, which caused him to hate his birthright, which he then sold. Ein tivuna bo. There is no wisdom in them, no understanding in them. In who? In Edom. The Radak says because they didn't realize how their allies were setting them up. Halo biyom hahuna Hashem. Behold on that day, says God. V'havadti chachamim me'edom. I will wipe out all the wise men of Edom, utfuna mehar Esav, and the understanding from the mountain of Esav. V'chatu giborecha teiman. And the warriors of the south will be broken or discouraged. Rashi says they ran away to the land of Yishmael. Actually, the text says Yisrael, not Yishmael, but it appears to be a typographical error. The Radak points out that Teman was a son of Eliphaz and a grandson of Esav, as we see in Parshas Vayishlach. So it might not mean people of the south, it might mean descendants of this particular line of Esav. In Parshas Toldos, Yitzhak blessed Esav, Al Harbacha Tichya, by your sword you shall live. So Teman could be the warrior branch of Esav's family. Of course, the Radak also quotes the Targum, who translates Teman as south. So either or both. L'man yikaris ish mehar Esav mikatel, in order that every man of the mountain of Esav be cut off by being killed. Now Ovadia describes what Edom did to deserve this punishment. So what did the nation of Edom do? Mechamas achicha Yaakov, because of the violence or the oppression which you heaped upon your brother Yaakov. Radak says this refers to the destruction of the second temple by the Romans, although Ibn Ezra says it refers to the first temple period when the Edomites harmed the Jews who were in Babylonian captivity. You can refer to the pasuk in Echa in the fourth parak, where it says, Pokad avonech bas Edom gila al chatosayech. That he, God, remembers your sin, daughter of Edom, he reveals your sin. So, your sins. So, we see from here that the Edomites did, in fact, abuse the Jews during the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. Back to Avadia. Techascha busha v'nichrata leolam. Shame will cover you, and you'll be cut off forever. B'yom amadcha mineged, on the day you stood far off, Rashi explains they stood far away instead of coming to Israel's aid. Biyom Shavos Zarim Chelo, on the day that strangers captured the wealth of Israel. V'nachrim Bo Sh'arav, and foreigners came into his gates. The Malbim says that the Babylonians, whose land was near Israel, are the Zarim, the strangers, and the Romans, who lived far away, those are the Nachrim, the foreigners. V'al Yushalayim Yadu Goral, they cast lots over Jerusalem, the Radak says, in order to divide the captives. Gam ata ke'achad mehem. You're just like one of them. So either Edom participated or tacitly gave their approval, but they are just like the ones who wreaked the actual havoc. V'al teira b'yom achicha. Don't look on the day of your brother. B'yom nachro, on the day of his being handed over into enemy hands. V'yal tismach livnei Yehuda b'yom avdam. Don't rejoice over the children of Judah on their day of destruction. V'yal tagdel picha b'yom tzara. And don't open your mouth on their day of trouble. Al tavo b'shar ami b'yom edam. Don't enter the gate of my nation on the day of their destruction. Al Tere Gam Ata Beraso Biyom Edo. Don't look at the evil happening to him on his day of calamity. V'al Tishlachna Bechelo Biyom Edo. And don't stretch your hand out to take his property on his day of misfortune. So it's bad enough not to help, to stand far off, as we said previously. That's bad enough. But it's really something else to take delight and profit from their misfortune. V'al Talmud al haperek lahachris es pleitav. Don't stand by the crossroads to cut off his fugitives or his refugees. Rashi cites a midrash that we see from here not to interrupt between the paragraphs of Kriyat Shema, and this midrash hinges on a double meaning of the word perek, perek in our usual sense of a chapter or paragraph, and perek here, of course, meaning crossroads. V'al tasgir seridav biyom tzara. Don't hand over his survivors on his day of trouble. Why not? Ki karov yom Hashem al kol hagayim. The day of God is over all nations is close at hand. Maybe not chronologically, but the Radak says it's as sure as if it were imminent. Kasher asisa ye'aselach. Just as you did to others, so will be done to you, Edom. Gemulcha yashuv b'roshecha. Payback for your actions will be returned on your head. Ki kasher shashisem al harkadshi, yishtu kol hagoyim tamid. Just as you drank, that is, just as you celebrated on my holy mountain over the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, other nations will drink perpetually. So people will celebrate your downfall as you did others. Veshasu v'la'u v'hayu kelohayu. They will drink and become confused and be as if they never existed. Ubahartzion tiye pleita v'haya kodesh. On Hartzion there will be a refuge and it will be holy. It can refer either to the mountain or to the group of people who are there. V'yarshu beis Yaakov es morashehem, and the house of Yaakov will inherit their inheritors. Okay, this pasuk hurts my head a little. Rashi quotes the Targum that they will inherit the possessions of those who inherited them, and I'm still not sure what that means. The Radak says they will inherit that which they inherited before, plus they will inherit from Edom, Moab, and the Plishtim. So that makes more sense to me. V'haya beis Yaakov eish ubeis Yosef lehava. The house of Yaakov will be fire, and the house of Yosef will be flame. Now, what's so special about Yosef that he's being singled out here? Why out of all the Shvatim does it focus on Yosef in this pasuk? The Radak quotes the Gemara in Baba Basra that only Yosef's descendants will be able to defeat Esav. If any other brother would say to Esav, why do you persecute your brother? Esav could reply, you persecuted your brother, who are you to talk? Yosef, however, can say to Esav, I forgave my brothers for harming me, why don't you forgive your brother for the harm you perceive he did to you? So that's why Yosef has a special place in this transaction, because Yosef is free of the fault that Esav could point the finger back at him. So if Yaakov is fire and Yosef is flame, ubeis Esav lakash, then the house of Esav, which is Edom, who we've been discussing, they're going to be straw. V'dalku behem v'achalum, and the flames of Yaakov and Yosef will ignite and consume them. V'lo yiyes sorid lebeis Esav. There will be no survivor from the house of Esav, ki Hashem diber, because God has spoken. Where did God say this? Rashi quotes Parshas Balach, where it says, V'haya Edom Yeresha, Edom will be an inheritance. And then in the next pasuk it says, V'yered me'yakov, v'hevid surid me'ir, that someone from Yaakov will rule and destroy the remainder from the city. V'yarshu ha'negev eshar Esav. The people of the south will inherit the mountain of Esav. The Negev, which is the south of Israel, borders near where Har Esav was. V'hashfela es Plishtim, the people of the plains or the lowlands, they will inherit the Philistines, which is geographically near their part of Israel. V'yarshu es sedei Ephraim v'es sedei Shomron. They will inherit the fields or the cities of Ephraim and Samaria. U'vinyamin es ha-Gilad. And the tribe of Binyamin, they will inherit the Gilad. This refers to the redistribution of the land of Israel, which we saw at the end of Sefer Yechezkel. V'galus ha-chel hazeh l'vnei Yisrael asher kananim ad Sarfas. And the multitudes of Jews exiled to the Canaanites as far as Sarfas. V'galus Yushalayim asher b'Svarad, and the exiles of Jerusalem in Svarad. Rashi tells us that Sfarad is Spain, which probably comes as no surprise. He also tells us that Tsarfas is France. He says, Shakarin in France, Balaz. They call it France in French. The Radak explains Asher Kananim ad Tsarfas to mean that when Yehoshua came to Canaan, many of the locals ran away to Alemania, which is Germany. So during the Roman exile, some Jews were sent there, to Germany, others to France, others to Spain, all throughout the European countries, which were now inhabited by descendants of the Canaanites. Yirshu es Ari HaNegev, they will inherit the cities of the south. Ve'olu Moshim b'Hartzion, saviors will go up to Hartzion. Who are these saviors? Rashi says Sari Yisrael, princes or officers of Israel. Ibn Ezra says Shofti Yisrael, the judges of Israel. The Radak says, HaMelech HaMashiach V'Chaverav, the Mashiach and his colleagues. And he cites a pasuk in Micha, which supports the idea that the Mashiach has assistants. And the Gemara in Sukkah lists them, there's 15 of them altogether. And the list includes Shais and Meshusalach, and Avraham, and Moshe, and Shmuel, and many other important personages. So what are these Moshiim going to do when they go up Hartzion? Lishbot es Har Esav. They are going to judge the mountain of Esav, which Rashi and Radak both translate, they quote the Targum, Kracha de Esav, the big city of Esav. Ahisala Hashem Hamlucha. And the kingship will be God's alone. And again, quoting the Targum, it says, V'siskle Machus de Hashem al kol Yasveara. The kingdom of Hashem will be revealed or will be made known to everyone on earth. So that's what's going to happen. It's a prophecy then for the end of days after the destruction of the Edomite nation. And that's Sefer Avadia in its entirety. I thank you for joining us, and I look forward to tomorrow when we'll be learning Sefer Yonah.